Welcome to the Hype Leadership Podcast. David and Lindsay Curry are dynamic entrepreneurs focused in high-performance leadership and coaching in sales and service. Through the Hype Leadership Podcast, David and Lindsay strive to serve in your journey towards a high-performance life. And now, here are your hosts, David and Lindsay Curry.
Welcome back to Hype Leadership Podcast. Today's theme is all about value, how we uncover it, how we deliver it, and how it impacts everything from sales to leadership. We're diving into a quote that hits home for anybody in business. Every objection is just a hidden question about value, and money always follows perceived value. And that quote comes from Orca Life. We've got Kevin with us today. I'm super excited. Kevin is a powerhouse in the final expense space, and he's going to be talking about real numbers, objections, and real life stories within Orca Life. Kevin, welcome back to the podcast.
I'm excited to be back.
Me too. David's not with us this week.
Yeah. I get to take David's spot, right?
You do. You do get to take David's spot.
I'm glad to be back. I'm glad to be back. I love what you guys have done. I told David recently, I'm not biased. I don't love the Hype Podcast because I know you two so well. It's been fun to listen. All the interviews, all the different folks that have been on have been interesting.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. Well, I tell you what, Kev, let's jump in. With your experience, how long have you been in the business at this point?
We're on year 11.
That is crazy to really, truly think about. 11 years in final expense. For those that are, this might be your first time listening. Kevin, let me ask you this, because whether folks are in sales, maybe they're in business to business, direct to consumer, there are objections, right? The dreaded objections. And so when we think about the quote that I just talked about, every objection is just a hidden question about value. So whether you're in the field with a client, or maybe you might be fielding a phone call from an agent in the home, which we do here traditionally a lot at Orca Life, how have you been able to handle objections effectively?
Yes. I would say if there's objections, you get them from your children.
All day.
Everything's a sale at some point. So Lenny probably throws some objections at you at bedtime, right?
Absolutely. The latest objection, Kevin, you'll appreciate this. Lenny's our 8-year-old, and spring break starts tomorrow. And so we're going to pick him up from school a little bit early. And she is battling, negotiating what time I can pick her up from school. I said 1:30 and she wants 1:00. So she keeps going back and forth. She asked me 15 times on the car ride to school this morning.
Well, I think you should let her be out of school completely for the day.
Yes.
I won't tell her. I won't tell her that. I won't give her that idea. I was excited, actually. I really was when I saw the quote and I found out we're going to talk about objections. So something I've said for 11 years now is I'm so blessed because I have been raised, in my opinion, I call it raised, so led in this business by some of the best to ever do it, right? So what I mean by that, Lens, is we had Glenn Crabtree, and Glenn, in my opinion, maybe the best to ever I've ever seen when it comes to in-home sales, especially in the insurance business, right?
Absolutely.
And then I also have always said with you and David, obviously, I'm close to you all, so I've seen the road, but I think you two are as good at building a business and building a duplicatable, which we're going to talk about, business model and system so you can find people to plug and play. Here's the system, plug in Kevin and go. So I say that, Lindsay, it'll make sense in a second. So you're going to get an objection in sales that you can't get around it. It happens. You might get 15 of them in one appointment or sit down with the family. But when you ask me, how do you handle them? Glenn was so good. Glenn would teach me a one-liner or a response to each objection. So if there's 10 different types of objections, there's 10 different one-liners. Glenn is better than me. I wasn't great at remembering them and using them and doing all these different one-liners, right?
Correct.
But you and David, from day one, really, really believed in and preached, Kev, we have to make this thing duplicatable so other people can do what Glenn's doing, right?
Absolutely.
And you all really helped there, and Glenn really helped there. So I say all that because the best, in my personal opinion, the best way to handle an objection is to not get them.
To right? not get them.
Yes. So Sam might sound a little crazy, but it's going to make sense. So the easiest way to handle them, don't get them. Well, how do you not get them? And that's the duplicatable part, Lindsay. That's when you make sure whatever you're getting into, sales, it doesn't matter. If the system is good and the system is duplicatable, I can do that. The system, and you get good, really, really good at your pitch, like obsessed, perfect your pitch, if that's what you want to call it, that pitch that you were taught, that system eliminates them. You don't get them near as often.
So true. Because through Orca's system, and again, I as well have been here with Kevin for going on 11 years at this point, and we have consistently tailored the pitch and the approach. And a lot of that stems from Glenn because of his pre-need background, but really knowing how the client's going to respond, right? And getting really good at expecting what's going to happen next.
100%. So we took the greatness of Glenn and we've just been, what's the right word? Now, I don't want to say whittling it down. We took the greatness of Glenn and we...
Guardrails.
There we go. Because he can move and shake like nobody I've ever seen. But I wasn't that. For me, Lindsay, I need structure. I need guardrails or else I'll go way too far off in right field and I'm gone. So the first part of the question is, if you get really good, I mean, obsessed, I was obsessed with this process. And then all of a sudden, I stopped getting objections, not as many, right? Now, the second part to that, the duplicatable part is, okay, let's say there's maybe 6 objections that are extremely common in our business that you get. Well, we figured out we can handle every single one the same exact one way. So now I don't need 6 one-liners. I just need one response, right? And if you're good with it, I would like the folks to hear it, right? If whatever they're selling, it'll work. So you said it in the quote, something along the line. The way I took that quote is, an objection isn't real. It's not, they're just really trying to say, well, they have more questions until they learn value, until they see the value, right?
Absolutely.
So in our business, whether the client says, you know, Kevin, I can't afford it, or, you know, Kevin, I just not today. I need time to think through it and figure it out. Or Kevin, I already have good insurance in place. I don't need any more. That when they say that, that's most likely not necessarily true, or maybe they don't understand what's happening yet, or maybe they don't see the value in how we can help them because it's still really early on in the process. They probably don't trust me fully yet. So what I've learned, at least in our business, is when they throw out that whatever that is that maybe isn't fully real, is so there's a simple way to handle it, Lindsay. So if the client says, hey, Kev, I already have good coverage, you know, I'm pretty sure it's enough. Like, I think you're a great guy and all, but I think I'm okay. It's so simple, Lindsay. I literally every single time, same answer. Hey, Lindsay, that's great. My job's just to go over a little info. If I can help you, I will. If I can't, no big deal. And then, Lindsay, I keep talking. So what happened there was, hey, Kevin, I already got insurance, yada, yada, yada. Hey, that's great. I'm just here to see if I can help, I will. Now, if I paused after I responded and didn't say anything else, they would say something like, well, how are you going to help? I already told you I have this, right? But if I respond with, when they give me the objection, hey, that's great. I'm just going to, you know, if I can help you, I will. If not, no big deal. Now, Lindsay, you were telling me you and Lenny, is the whole family going to Florida tomorrow? And then Lindsay starts talking and she forgot about the fake objection, which most of them are. And then here's the best part, Lens. You're speaking about something you care about, your daughter and your family on vacation. And what's happening when you do that? Now me and you are building more trust. I'm becoming more of a human being, not a salesperson to you, right?
Love that. And I want to point out two things from what you just said, and especially if folks are actually, I know a lot of individuals just listen, but if they're actually watching, Kevin, when you were going through that objection, you almost grabbed it and threw it away. And I know that is something that actually another one of our agents, Jerry Allen, had talked about, is almost like you're just throwing it out of the way. Like it does not mean anything. And then you're taking the time to become that real individual, seek genuine interest in that individual and their true need to figure out, hey, why did they mail this card in? Why am I here? Because they're not going to tell you up front.
100,000%. So the way I've always viewed it is, if you throw me this little bitty objection that's really not real, it's this tiny little flame. And if I stop what I'm doing and I say, well, what kind of insurance do you have and who do you have it with and what kind is it and you think I could do better? I'm just dumping gas on that. And now it becomes this big obstacle, this big fire. We're only going to be focused on it. Confrontation doesn't work. It's Glenn used to say it like, Kev, that's their part of this deal. They're supposed to object. Like, they're figuring you out. Dude, can I trust this guy? Right?
Correct. And do I understand the value at this point? So even if they, listeners that are listening in, if they are giving objections in whatever business model that you're in, continue to move past that. Move past that, because that is just a knee-jerk reaction. And they don't see the value yet in what it is that you're trying to provide.
Zach Randolph has taught it for many, many years. Objections are not real until you get to the money. Meaning these little ones throughout, they're just seeing if they trust you, if there's value there. Now, if you get to the very, like, obviously there comes a time, if it's time to sign on the dotted line and us to provide the service we say we're going to provide and the cost is XYZ, and Lindsay's like, no, I can't. Or, okay, now you got to address some things. But there's a time for that at the end once all trust is. And listen, sometimes, Lens, they tell me on the front end, I already have great insurance and it's the right kind and I can't afford it. And I say, no big deal. And we keep it moving. And then we get to the end. And now, listen, they trust me enough to be an actual service provider to them. They go get the policies out. And I'm able to see they do have good insurance, meaning insurance that's going to pay when they die, right? Good life insurance, not life insurance that might not be there when they die. And we walk through it and I help educate them on what they have. And now, hey, if they don't want more, that's fine. I did my job, because now they have peace of mind. Like, man, this guy took the time and I know I've got the right stuff, right? And that's fine too.
Absolutely. And I love that you said that until you really, at the very end of the process, get down to the money. And that is what I'm most excited about jumping into this. Great segue into that, Kev.
Smooth.
You're a smooth operator. But let me ask you this. You have interviewed thousands of individuals. And currently, for folks that are listening, he is actively growing the Missouri market. And yes, go Missouri. Yeah. So what is it to the brand new individual? What is it that you're advertising that they will deposit their first year?
Yes, go Missouri's right. We're having a lot of fun out there. We've got some really, really cool people that we've been blessed to find, and or they found us. And you're right, Lens. I've had a million interviews, it feels like, which is, it's okay. I love people. The thing that has always bothered me a little bit about our industry is there are a lot of people, if you want to call them recruiters, whatever they are, whatever name you want to give them, they will sell you this dream. I mean, this big, shiny, crazy dream this business is. Lindsay, guess what? You can make $250,000 in your first 12 months in the insurance business, right? And in 3 years, Lindsay, you can have so much money coming in from renewals and the agency you build that you could sit on the couch with the kids all day and just be a millionaire, right? I know
like, where do I sign?
Yeah, so I know that sounds a little extreme, but the first part, like people are told very often, you can make $250,000 year one, and within 3 to 5 years, like you're good, you're retired. And here's the thing, that's technically not a lie. Like that is possible in our industry. It's something that's so beautiful about it. But like, what is that? 1% of people do that in their first 12 months?
Yes, they have to have extreme discipline.
Yeah. So what I've found for me, and I believe is the right thing, is I'm very honest with what the expectations are, not just how much money you can make, but also like first year is tough here. In our industry, that first year is a gauntlet. I mean, it really is. But, you know, when you find the right person, Lindsay, and we talked about this, if Lindsay's the right person. So if I was interviewing you and I said, hey, and we'll get into the numbers in a second. Hey, this business can be phenomenal. And we're going to tell you how. But this first year, this hard. And let me tell you why. Lindsay is the right person. It's okay that it's hard for her. It's okay. It's going to be a battle for the first 6 to 12 months sometimes. Lindsay just needs to know what the battle is. Right?
1,000%. We actually just had Chris Derry on our last episode. Phenomenal. He's actually, Kevin and I, our mentor. And so, you know, ensuring that you're not hiring the wrong people. And so key things to look for. And one thing that he did say is that you can't test the grit. But Kevin, I want to point out, by you letting the individual know it's going to be challenging, you're going to want to quit, you're going to struggle. Yep. And if they still say, I'm all in.
There we go.
Exactly.
And I've went down that road on interview and I said, hey, Linz, I'll tell you what, why don't you go home, talk to David tonight. Think through what I've all of that battle, pray on it, like get right. Call me tomorrow. And I've had people call me back that I felt weren't the right people to begin with, but I didn't tell them that. And they called me back and said, hey, man, I really appreciate all the time you gave me yesterday, but I got to be honest, like that battle isn't one I'm ready to fight. And cool. Now I'm good with that, right? It's not for everyone. Doesn't make the person that is ready to fight the battle better. It's just, this battle might be natural for people like you and I, might not be natural, but my wife wouldn't fight this battle.
Correct.
She's much stronger than me. I could tell, we could do a whole podcast on that, but it's just, this battle is for me, right?
It's a different battle. Correct. Absolutely.
So I would love to get into the actual numbers. So okay. I believe it's so important to be transparent, upfront, and honest. So, you know, we can hit on the numbers today because I want folks to know like this is what this industry is. So I don't tell them they can make 20 grand and 250,000 a year right out of the gate. I tell them it's possible, but let's talk what's real. And Lindsay, the numbers that I share they're not ones I pulled out of thin air. We're talking 10 plus years in business, 100 plus agents running leads every single week. So the numbers are the averages from a large sample size, not just the top guys and not just the ones who didn't make it, but everyone, right? So when we look at averages, I tell folks on every interview when they asked about, hey, let's talk about the money, what can I make? The average agent at Orca Life, first week in the business, right out of the gate, the average amount of application policies they're going to write, families are going to help us, is 5 to 6 a week, right? So the money, right out of the gate, brand new, first week, first month, that's an $1,800 average weekly deposit, which is a $7,000 a month income for the brand new first month agent in the business.
Okay, so month one, $1,800 a week, $7,000 first month.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's averages.
Okay.
If Josh Wilson only made more than $7,000 this first month, your dad already did, right?
Josh Wilson is a rock star in this business. Been here how long? 4 months, 6 months?
No, 9 months.
He's 9 months.
He's a veteran almost, right? But he was a rock star, you know, and that's, we can talk about why on a different call if y'all'd like. That'd be great. But average, that's important. Like, Kevin, what is realistic? Kev, I'm a bartender in St. Louis, Missouri. You know, I'm making well enough money to pay the bills, but I'm ready, man. I want to do something. Kev, I need to be in a place where I decide what I earn. How much money can I realistically make? What does the average guy do? Well, hey, you can make $7,000 in your first month. That's average numbers, right? Here's the other part I want to make sure we cover, Liz. So average agent month 17K, that same agent somewhere in month 8 or 9 usually. So I would say, so 8 months later, but coming up on the last quarter of the year, that income is now double. So that agent that's doing $7,000 a month, month one, same amount of production, they're now going to make, they're making somewhere close to or above $14,000 a month, right? Because earned raises, their commission level has increased month over month, quarter over quarter.
So, based on production, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
They've earned it, right? So I tell folks, hey, $7,000 a month can pay the bills, but let's talk about now you fight through that gauntlet and now you're closing in on the end of your first year. That looks more like $14,000 a month, right? And then the next step, Lens, that's so important, and a lot of folks don't know about the insurance industry, is some people like to use the word back-end money or renewal money. Okay, so follow me. $7,000 in your first month, you're making $14,000 in your 8th or 9th month. Now, when you get past your first year, so when you actually get to your 13th month in the business, that's when your full quote-unquote back-end money's rolling. That person that was making $14,000 is now making right around $16,000, right? Because they're getting paid a smaller commission on all the policies they wrote 10, 11, 12 months ago, right?
Absolutely. And that is quite a jump. I mean, Think about that. Just in that short amount from 9 to 13 months, $2,000.
That's when the business, that I tell folks, so at quote unquote back end money starts rolling, that's when the business starts to get good, in my opinion. And now here's the last part of this is, so now you're 13 months, 14 months in, you've got the income rolling 15, 16, 17,000 a month, right? So now you're doing well. You've got through the gauntlet that Kev talked about. You figure this thing out, whatever you want to call it. But now, Lens, when you get to somewhere between month 20 and 24, so about the last quarter of that second year, that agent that's doing $16,000 a month is now doing 20,000 plus. Okay. And I want to be clear, not production. People get that confused in art. They want to tell you their production. No, I want to know what's the deposit? How much money is going into that kitty that you pay all your bills and future kids with, right? So $7,000 month one, $14,000 month nine, $16,000 month 13 or 14, 20, 25, moving it when you're getting past that second year. That's why the gauntlet, that first year, that's why it's worth the fight, right?
Well, here's the thing, Kev, is if the right person knows going into this, all right, this is going to be a grind. One of the hardest things, not the hardest thing, but one of the most challenging careers getting started. But if I know going into this, all right, by month 22 to 24, I can deposit $20,000 a month. What does that do for your situation currently?
Bingo. Right? That's a big deal for just about anyone.
Huge. It's a huge deal.
I could tell you, Lindsay, it's a big deal for everyone, because if you go find me somebody that's doing $20,000-$25,000 a month right now, I hate to say what I'm about to say, but they're more than likely they're miserable, right? Because they have no time. Zero.
Correct.
You can have money or time. Which one do you want is most careers in America right now. Don't hear me wrong to say, well, Kev's saying I can make $25,000 a month and have all the time in the world. No, you're going to work your tail off, But yes, you can bust your tail and be obsessed for a couple of years. And am I blessed with time and money today? Yes. 10 years in? Absolutely. And I've earned that, right? My wife's earned that. So it is possible for the right person. But when we keep saying the right person, are they willing to endure some of the things that I know I've watched you, Lens, endure, right?
Not bully. Yeah. Pregnant belly out there and knocking doors. Yes. Oh, yeah. Even it's the grind. It is. There's no doubt. But I always just would try to find the silver lining or just get lost in somebody else's problems, which that's a whole nother call. But yes, yes. I love that. I love that you have, you know, these are average orca life numbers. That is something to celebrate and be excited about. And they're real deposits. They are real, true deposits. So, Kevin, full commission sales, that can be very scary. Correct. I mean, I think anyone could agree. Especially if you're looking at getting into full commission sales opportunity, it can feel very overwhelming. Do I have a system? Am I really going to get paid? Are they going to give me this bonus? All these questions run through your head. What does Orca Life do to create consistency in a full commission base world?
Yeah, so full commission is extremely scary for folks.
Normal. It's normal to be scared.
Oh, my goodness, yes. It's also where all the money is.
Right? 100%.
You got it, right? That's where all the money is. So in my personal opinion, you got to make sure you're locking arms with, you're hanging your ladder on the right person, the right organization. And what I mean by that is, where we find consistency is because we have the right business model and the right sales system. So what I mean by that, Lynn, so where do we find the consistency? Number one, it's the structure. I said that earlier, like, I desperately need structure. If I don't have it, I am a tornado, right? So the structure in how you're trained, the structure in how, not just in your first couple of weeks, like you're trained forever, right? So structure with the training, structure in how, when, and how we drop our leads, meaning get in front of the people that we're in front of, making sure it's the right demographic people that need our product. Lens, I probably could say if we're helping people with what you would consider final expense or burial insurance, an 18-year-old young man just starting college probably isn't too worried about his final expense insurance, right?
True statement. Oh,
so you got to be in front of the right person. So the structure that we have is so important. And then the culture, right? So what sales is hard. Sales is scary. Sales is a roller coaster that first year, especially. So you got to have the right culture of people that are there to encourage you, there to teach you, there to lift you up. But then also the part of the culture that we don't talk about enough, when you fill up the room with a whole bunch of like-minded people. When you got 20 people on a team, if that's, you know, if you're the team you're rocking with in this business, and all of those folks are hungry, driven, people that are okay with that battle we talked about, the culture becomes unbreakable. So when times are tough, that's what you lean on, right? That's what creates consistency. I say it all the time. Once somebody's in this business long enough and the times get difficult, what keeps them going is the culture, their teammates, their brothers and sisters. It isn't the money, right? It isn't, oh my gosh, I want to go through hell today so I can help somebody with their burial insurance. Let's be honest. It's, man, Lindsay just spent her Thursday and Friday last week taking me out and retraining me because she knew I was struggling, but I want it. How am I going to give up next Tuesday when it gets tough? No, I got to do it for her the same way she did it for me. So it's the structure and the culture. And then what I call the whole business model. So the systems included. So the business model is the way we personally travel. Our groups travel, right? But our groups travel together. So there's 6, 8, 9 of those agents in the same area. And they're spending their time at dinner and in the mornings together, that culture, feeding off of each other, helping each other, right? So it's the way we do that. Then it's the actual sales system that I spoke to earlier that thankfully Glenn and you and Dave handed and let me use because it allowed me to be successful in sales, right? And then what happens there, the last thing I'll hit on, Lens, is so you've got the structure, you've got the culture, you've got this business model, but we don't talk about this enough. We've got those agents hitting those numbers, but they're doing it in 3 days, right? So some 4 and 5, but once you, the idea of this model for Josh Wilfong, we used his name. We want Josh to get good enough to where he can be so efficient. That's the key here with his time that he can deposit $25,000 a month, Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday, right? So yes, is it a sacrifice for some to go travel?
Yes.
But because of the travel, and he's allowed to be so efficient because the reason he's traveling, Lindsay, is we're able to put him in front of 25 fresh families that need his help every single week, right? So it's all those ingredients go into the pot to make this thing to where Josh or whoever the next one up is can do 100 grand plus, can do 200,000 plus, can, you know. And when you really look at it from that view and you dissect it, it makes sense.
Well, and I think you made a point early on, just hooking your ladder to the right roof, correct? Because I personally, and I know I might be biased, but Orca Life, our culture, that's what separates us from a lot of other organizations. We take the time to train folks. We take the time to maintain them, ensure that they're continuing to grow and continue to make deposits. And if they're not, just like you said, Kevin, we put them back in the car. Hey, we need to tweak some of these things. And there's a lot of other agencies out there that'll just throw you a contract, throw you a manual, watch these videos, and good luck.
You might not even get the videos and the manual. I just get the contract. And that's what's so tough. Right. So it was actually what I'd love to speak to here for a second. I want your opinion is you just hit on it. We hired them. We hired the guy or girl. We trained them up. They're out rocking and rolling. There's got to be more to it, though. Right, Kev? Like, I'm not going to go from 7 grand in my first month to 22,000 in my second year, beginning my second year. But what else is there? And I'm telling you, it's what Lindsay, it's what you just said. It's literally we get to love that agent because that's what it takes. Like, it takes the phone calls at 10:30 on a Wednesday night and talking through a struggle. And that struggle might not even be in the home. That struggle might be at your home. Like, hey, Kev, I love this thing and I love our culture and I love my income. But man, I'm really struggling. My son's been acting out at school. My husband's really frustrated at home because I'm not there to help. Like, and you have real conversations about it. And all of a sudden you come to a conclusion in that conversation, Lens, where, you know, it's worth it because that son that's acting out, he's going to expect so much more in the life because all the growth his mother had in this gauntlet that I keep talking about and these people that she's now surrounded by. So to lead people and you, Lindsay, I've said it 100 times, like the best leader I've ever had, the best coach I've ever had, but it was because of your example of like, I will do what, once you know, if you know Kevin's the right one, he can do what we do. You'll do anything and everything it takes for me to get me to that place where, hey, we're rolling now. Life is good. This was worth it and is worth it.
Well, thank you, Kev. And it's because we do life. We do life with the people, right? We do life with everyone that we hire. And so I think that's something special and unique that probably I would say a lot of other organizations don't do, right? So let me ask you this, kind of the last question. As a team leader, what have you really leaned on within the business to help create multiple six-figure earners?
So some of it we already talked. I've leaned on that structure and the culture and the system and the business model because it keeps working. I've leaned on you, right? I'm a lot heavier than you, so I might have hurt your back there. But I've leaned on David. I've leaned on Glenn. I've leaned on Nick, Alex, Trey, my brother. So leaning on each other. I don't always have the right answer, obviously. I've leaned on my faith. This thing has tested me. I like to think that I'm pretty tough mentally. But I've had to lean on my faith and trust. Hey, you got me in the right place, Lord. Get me through this. So, and I guess we've leaned on lately. This is one we haven't talked about. Understanding this, things are evolving.
Yes.
I think this business has evolved, like five times as much in the last 2 years as it did in the first 8 or 9 for us.
1,000%.
And that's scary.
It is.
But people like you, and I give Glenn props. It's almost a joke where I tease him a little. So I say, hey, man, to be your age, right? That's the joke. But hey, what I respect so much about him, a lot of people get up, you know, later in life, and they're stubborn. They don't want to evolve with times. Glenn's the reason why I'm evolving, right? He's because he understands that's business. And for us to continue to be able to provide the platform we have for our agents to make six figures, to make 250 in their second and third year, we're going to have to evolve. So I've leaned on you guys a lot there.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, I think you make a great point. It's really surrounding yourself with like-minded people, what you said earlier, and folks that want to continue to progress, because we've heard this so many times. If you're not growing, you're dying. And if you're not able to look at something and say, hey, you know what, if we tweak a couple of these things, something that used to take 7 steps now only takes 3 steps. So it's just continuously looking at what are we doing now? How can we be more effective? And how can we bring more value to our agents, into our agency?
Yeah, being proactive to bring that value is important to us, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So, Kevin, thank you so much. Man, I mean, the money, the objections, there was so much value that I know that our listeners took away from this episode today. And I want to thank you for just pouring into the team and talking real numbers, because you don't get that very often in this industry. So,
100%. The only thing I will add, next time I'm on, I want to tell some stories of Lindsay 8 months pregnant outselling Final Expense Insurance. Can I slide one of those in next time?
Yes, you there's can some- slide one of those in next time. Leave them on a cliffhanger.
There's some good ones there. No, I appreciate you. I love it. I love what we do, and I appreciate the opportunity to be on.
Awesome. Thank you, Kev. And thank you to our Hype podcast listeners. And we will see you next week.
David and Lindsay Curry are focused on high performance coaching and sales and service. Reach out today at 502-314-2789 or visit hype.financial. That's hype.financial to learn more. Thanks for listening to the Hype Leadership Podcast.